9 of the Pew Bible, page 1159. And we'll be looking at a few verses from that little passage that Robert read for us. Over the past few weeks, past couple of months, we've been looking at growing in our faith. How do we grow in our faith? What does it look like when we grow in our faith? How do we know when we are growing? When should we be worried if we're not growing in our faith? And we've looked at all those different aspects. And this morning, as we finish this series, I want us to look at one of the verses that probably highlights the whole idea of being changed, of growing in our faith. And it's one of the verses that Robert read for us towards the end of that passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Paul has already talked about Moses wearing a veil so that people wouldn't see that his glory is fading. Moses wears this veil. And now he says, we who with unveiled faces, the veil's lifted because of Jesus. We who have unveiled face, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Transformed into his likeness. That's what these past weeks have been about. It's not been about us becoming better people, although that's important, that's good, that's right. It's not about us being puffed up or filled up, which is so easy to happen and yet which is so wrong. It's about us reflecting the glory of God as we become more and more like Jesus. And there's our measure. If you want to simply know, are you growing? How are you growing? Are you more like Jesus than you were a month, a year, 10 years ago, a day ago? Are you more like Jesus? There seems to be, in this little verse, a connection between reflecting the Lord's glory and being transformed. So Paul writes, we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness. When people look at us and see something of God's glory reflected, when people look at us and see something of the likeness of Jesus Christ in our lives, then this transformation is happening. And it's not about our efforts, although that's important. It's about what God is doing in us. It's about how God is changing us, shaping us, molding us. Reflecting the Lord's glory. I wonder what the Lord's glory means. Well, one of the ways that the Bible talks about the Lord's glory is simply his presence. Because if this God is holy, if he is glorious, if he is majestic, if he is beyond our understanding, then anywhere where God is glorious. So it's simply his presence could be one way of understanding the Lord's glory. But it's interesting. Earlier on in that little passage that Robert read for us, Paul also points to another understanding of the glory of God. He contrasts the glory of God in the law given by Moses with the much greater glory of the gospel. Let me read those few verses from verses 7 to 11 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And notice how Paul takes this, contrasting the glory of the law that was given through Moses and compares it with the greater glory of the gospel. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, that's the law. The law simply says you've broken the law, you're condemned. If there's glory in the law, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? The glory of the gospel that brings righteousness. For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Here's God's glory in the gospel. The law demonstrates the glory of God in his purity and his righteousness. The gospel demonstrates the glory of God in both his righteousness and his grace. When Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, he says, God raised us up with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages, and here's this important phrase, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed to his kindness in us, to us in Christ Jesus. The gospel. God shows his incredible grace to us in the gospel. The riches of his grace shown to us in the kindness of Jesus, which is the gospel. So if we're to be changed, we need to have this clear understanding of both the gospel and its application to our lives. Sometimes we see the gospel as something you need back then to actually get a ticket into the kingdom. So when Jesus says that we must be born again, then that's for back then, the gospel. But if we're really to grow, to be transformed, we need to know and experience the gospel each day and every day. The gospel is not only for salvation, but also to remind us of who and what we are in Jesus Christ, that we have experienced the kindness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what the gospel is. So we need to use a phrase that Paul uses. Margaret. Okay. We need to use a phrase that Paul uses as day and daily we remind ourselves of the gospel, the glory of God. And the phrase is this: count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. Dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. There's the glory of the gospel. And it's not just for back then when we make that decision to allow Jesus into our lives. It's for each day, every day. Dead to sin, alive to God in Jesus Christ. We're dead to sin and the guilt of sin. The Bible simply says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. When Jesus died, he paid the price for your sin. That's it. And we need to remind ourselves of that day and daily. Not that we're perfect, far from it. But Jesus is perfect. And we trust in what he's done. That's the glory of the gospel. What Jesus has done. Dead to the guilt of sin. So there will be times when we think of things that we've said and done, things that we are, and think, how can God love me when I'm like this? There might even be people who will look at you and say, how can you behave like that and claim to be a Christian? The answer is simply because of what Jesus has done. It's not about who I am, what I've done. It's about who Jesus is and what he has done. That's the glory of the gospel. So we're set free from that guilt about our sin, but we're also set free from the reigning power of sin in our lives. You know, sometimes you see on a shop window a sign that will say something like, under new management. and then smaller print, business as usual. For the Christians, the banner is the same, under new management, but you get rid of that little subtitle. You're under new management, but it is not business as usual. The old self, sin, was ruling. The old self, sin, had the upper hand. But because of Jesus, you are under new management. That's been forgiven, and it is no longer business as usual. It is a whole new life in Christ Jesus. As we, in a few minutes, come to celebrate together the Lord's Supper, it's a way of remembering the gospel. Remembering that it was for us that Jesus died. Remembering that he rose again from the dead, victorious over sin and hell and death. Remembering that Jesus has promised to return. And in this way, the gospel is kept alive in our lives, day by day. We're encouraged. We need to keep the gospel front and center. In all of our lives, in the life of our congregation, as we seek not just to live for Jesus, but to be transformed into his likeness. Every Sunday in our bulletin and in lots of other things that are produced around here, we have our mission statement. Simply to know Christ and then lovingly to make him known. How does that happen? It happens through lives that are transformed. It happens as we acknowledge our need for the Savior. It happens as we reflect his glory. It happens as we are transformed to become more and more like Jesus. Lovingly making him known wherever God has placed us. The gospel. Not just John 3:16, for that day when we gave our lives to Jesus. It's remembering each day. It's a recalling what God has done for us in Christ. And is living in that, reflecting the glory of the gospel. May God give us the grace, not only to hear the gospel, but to respond in whatever way he calls us. Maybe for the first time. Maybe just time and time again. To respond to his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. To respond to all that he has done for us, the incomparable riches of his grace. May God give us grace day by day. Let's pray together. Lord, with so much that goes on in our lives, so much that needs to be given space in our thinking and in our living, we pray that you would help us to keep front and center what you have done for us in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and in him to be confident, in him to be strong, in him to reach out, in him to be transformed. Lord, as we start a new season in the life of our congregation, we pray for that transforming work in the lives of individuals and in our congregation. Lord, as groups and organizations start again, May we do so with a desire to know Jesus, to know him more, and then through who we are and what we do, lovingly, to make him known. And we ask this for your glory and in Jesus' name. Amen. The band are going to come up, and we're going to sit together and sing a lovely prayer, which is simply about being in the very presence of God, enjoying being in his presence, enjoying changing, growing, being transformed in his presence. We're going to sing through twice, and as we sing through this, the communion tokens will be received. Again, these are not tickets of admission. It's not that if you don't have one, you can't take communion. It's just a way of recording who's been here for our communion service. So we sit and we sing together to be in your presence.